Bless you. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you. From God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 5, stanzas 1 through 5. O Lord, how are my foes increased? Against me many rise. How many say, in vain for help, he on his God relies. 1 through 5 of Psalter number 5. Scripture reading in this morning hour can be found in the prophecy of Habakkuk, the first chapter, Habakkuk chapter 1. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Habakkuk chapter 1. The burden in which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Behold ye among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses also are swifter than the leopards, and are more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from far. They shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to eat. They shall come all for violence. Their faces shall sup up as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand. And they shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be a scorn unto them. They shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it. Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing this his power unto his God. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. Thou hast ordained them for judgment, and O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he, and makest men as the fishes of the sea, as the creeping things that have no ruler over them? They take up all of them with the angle, they catch them in their net, and gather them in their drag. Therefore they rejoice and are glad. Therefore they sacrifice unto their net, and burn incense unto their drag, because by them their portion is fat, and their meat plenteous. Shall they therefore empty their net, and not spare continually to slay the nations? So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Chad Outshorn, who has to go to the hospital this Thursday. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who art exalted high above all the creatures, all the angels, all the hosts in the heavens and in the earth, so that thy name is set forth in great majesty and honor, and thou who wilt also be glorified, as we can read in thy word, by the kings of this world, O thou who art over everything that takes place in this world, with thy holy providence, thou who bringest forth thy decree that was from everlasting and shall be to everlasting. O give us, who are but worms of the dust, a little impression in this morning hour to whom that we attempt to approach when we draw nigh to thee. O outside of thy dear Son, then thou art unto us a consuming fire, and we cannot approach to thee, because our sin testifies against us, and we would be utterly consumed. And therefore it is in this morning hour that we ask of thee that thou wouldst look upon us in and through him who is well pleasing in thy holy sight, him who has performed everything that was necessary to take away thy wrath and thy hot displeasure against thy own people who had sinned against thee so grievously. And Lord, may there not be one of us and our children who are left behind and who will be found outside of thine only begotten Son, who will have to experience the wrath of God poured out to that never-ending eternity, in that place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Lord, we have no impression by nature of our wretched state that we are born in this world and that we live in as we are without God in the world. And we go on our whole life, if thou dost not prevent, walking so carelessly through that never-ending eternity. And it will be for us such a surprise in that day that we have to die and that we have to appear before a holy and a righteous God. Oh, then we shall see and we shall understand that cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them, and that the least transgression in thought, in word, or in deed that will bring upon us an everlasting punishment. Oh, could it please thee, thou who art just, thou who art righteous, but thou who art also merciful, in and through thine only begotten Son, oh, could it please thee to look upon us in that mercy and to open our eyes in a day of grace and in a time of salvation. Oh, to give us that impression that we cannot give to ourselves, and that we may learn to go over this world as a weeping creature, with a burden that we have sinned against such a good-doing God as thou art. Oh, that it may prick us to our heart, and that our secret place may often be attended, and that there we may weep out our hearts before thee. Oh, that there may be a contrite heart, that there may be a broken spirit within each and every one of us and of our dear children. Oh, we cannot lay before thee, Lord, any reasons in ourselves, for there are none. only that we should be cast away from thee, but, oh, take reasons out of thyself and out of the promise which thou hast promised to thy own Son, that he would have a seed that should serve him. And, oh, that we and our dear children may be included in that promise, and that we may be of those who may be born again, and that might learn to hunger and to thirst after his righteousness. Oh, remember those who have such a burden, who have such a hunger born in their heart, that are for themselves on the outside, and that need to be brought on the inside by thee. Lord, it is a people that do not know the way, but thou hast promised that thou would lead the blind by a way that they know not. Oh, may it be experienced also in this Sabbath day, that there are those who may be delivered from that wretchedness and that misery which they experience themselves to be in. Oh, that thou may but even open the way for a people who know no way, and that they may begin to seek, that they also may be included in that way, and that they may be brought upon that pathway that leadeth unto life everlasting. Look upon thy own children, for they also need, when thou hast given life to be fed, or that life that shall languish, oh, that thou may instruct thy children, that they need to learn more and more of that wretchedness, misery, and corruption that continues to lie within their own breast, and that they may see more and more of preciousness, more and more of suitability of that mediator whom thou hast sent into this world, and that he may become altogether lovely by renewal day by day, and that the people, that they may fall away, that they may sink away under thy great goodness and thy wisdom, which thou hast revealed in thine only begotten Son. Oh, instruct, Lord, and teach us in those things that we cannot reveal to ourselves. Wilt thou be with all afflicted ones, those that have difficulties of the body or of the mind? Or then we think of that little child that must again go to the hospital in this coming week. And thou knowest all his circumstances. Thou hast made it thus far well, and yet he must receive treatment from time to time. We ask thee, Lord, for a blessing upon those treatments, for an increase in the health of his body. And oh, may thou use this affliction in his own life, and in the life of parents and siblings, for the opening of the eyes, for the weakness and the sickness of our soul, that there may be profit, spiritual profit, unto them and unto all those that must experience such weakness of the body in this life. Be with all that receive treatments from time to time, those that have become old and that have to experience also that the body declines and that they go to their long home. Then there can be so many fears in the way when the truth is known in the mind, and that they must confess that they know not the beginnings of the truth in their soul. Oh, break, Lord, the hard and the stony hearts, and wilt thou cause to approach unto thee, and wilt thou remember widows, widowers, and orphans, and all those that go over this life alone, the unmarried, those that have no children, and those that have crosses that are burdens unto them. Wilt thou be near in thy felt presence, and that all those things may come in the background, and that they might miss thee, that God whom they have left in paradise, that they may desire and long to be united unto thee once again. Wilt thou go then before each one that has special needs in this life? Help us. Then also in the preaching of thy word in this morning, Lord, once again it is thy blessed, thy precious Sabbath day, a day wherein we have read out of thy word, and that is hallowed, hallowed by thee, even from the beginning of the world. Lord, it is a day when we may come up all around thy holy word, an everlasting testimony. Oh, what a precious day. What a blessed day. Oh, may it be experienced as such in our hearts this day. Oh, when there is no desire, oh Lord, then wilt thou make it so different that we have ever experienced in our life, unto young and old together. And oh, when there may be a little desire, then it is planted by thee, and wilt thou fulfill it. Help us in the preaching. Give liberty, give opening, give love, give desire. Glorify thy name also in the listening, in the hearing, and that there may be ears to hear and hearts to understand. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 184, stanzas 1 through 4 and 6 through 8. Save me, O God, because the floods come in upon my soul. I sink in depths where none can stand. Deep waters o'er me roll. 1 through 4 and 6 through 8 of Psalter 184. Congregation, what did the bride say of the bridegroom? And then she has cried out, "He is altogether lovely, the chiefest among 10,000. What a preciousness, what a beauty that that bride saw in that bridegroom. And how is that in our life? Do we also see a beauty? Do we also see a preciousness in the Lord Jesus Christ? By nature, we do not. By nature, He has no form. He has no comeliness for us. Oh, how is that in the sight of God? Because it is His only begotten Son, and He has sent Him into the world to seek and to save that which is lost. And what does He say of His Son Himself? Then He says, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And we? Oh, we see no beauty in Him. Is it not a wonder that the Lord does not immediately cut us off and cast us away from Himself forever and forever? How much work does the Lord not have to do to make the Son of God precious in the eyes of His people? What a breaking down, what a humbling in the dust that is necessary before the sick. They will see a beauty in that great physician. Before the guilty, we'll see a preciousness in that blessed surety. Before a debtor, we'll learn to love that precious Redeemer. That is now the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the elect, that is to make that Son of God to be wholly precious in the eyes of that people. And we can see that also in that whole prophecy of Habakkuk, of which we have read the first chapter. And we read here in the first verse the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. Who is Habakkuk? We actually do not know what his lineage is, who that his parents are, where he has come from, and actually even the time that he lived in, that is a bit of an uncertainty. But from all the things that we can read in this book, then it is thought very likely that he lived in the days of King Josiah or King Jehoiakim, that he was actually a contemporary of the prophet Jeremiah. And there was a time, we know that the 10 tribes, they are already carried into a captivity. The lineage is unknown, but we read here that he is a prophet. Thus, he is himself well known among this people as a prophet of Jehovah. If we read this whole book of Habakkuk, then we see that it is addressed either unto the Lord or it is addressed to the nations which are lying about Judah. That is, that it is not addressed to Judah themselves. Although the message that is actually intended for the people of Judah. So that is, when we are speaking sometimes, boys and girls, that we say that we speak to you, but then there are also others that are listening, and they also may glean from this. And that when we may address God's children, then there is also a message that is coming unto everyone. Because then we may hear, congregation, what we miss. So the Lord in paradise, He has also addressed the devil. And in addressing the devil, then He has given a message and He has given comfort unto His own children. What is the purpose that the Lord has sent Habakkuk unto these children of Judah? That was to give them comfort under all the afflictions that were coming. Do you know what was coming for Judah, boys and girls? In the days of Habakkuk, then there was an awful captivity that was laying before them, that they were going to be taken away from their own land, and they would be under the hand of the enemy. And now Habakkuk, the prophet of the Lord, and then he is sent to that people to give them comfort in light of that affliction that is laying before them, and also to give them hope. To give them hope of deliverance from that captivity, that the Lord, He will restore them again, and that the Lord will send unto them a deliverer. But of course, then at the same time, then that message of Habakkuk that is bringing a terror unto the wicked, because then he is declaring the judgment of the Lord upon the wicked. In the coming weeks, with the help of the Lord, we wish to consider with you together this prophecy of Habakkuk. It is only short. Only three chapters, and then we would recommend that all would read this chapter, that you read it over and over again, and that you study it, and that you are reading in the commentaries about it, and that you may have a desire to know what is the meaning of the word of the Lord. But then especially that as we go through this short prophecy, that we may be asking that the Lord may also sanctify and bless that message unto us and unto our children. We wish with the help of the Lord to consider together in this morning the first four verses, and then we would like to take in a special way, as the words of our text, the last portion of verse 4. Verse 4, the last portion, which reads thus: "For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore, wrong judgment proceedeth." So far the words of our text. Habakkuk complains of wrong judgment. First, the substance of this complaint. And second, the aggravation of this complaint. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. Congregation, did you ever carry a burden? Then immediately in our mind, we are thinking of something which is very heavy, something which is difficult to carry, something that weighs us down, something that perhaps we are continually groaning under. Burdens are not always physical. No, young people. Sometimes parents, they are burdened with their children. Is that not an awful thing? That to bring up their children is a very heavy task. And we hope you consider that. Because if all is well, one day maybe you also will be a parent. And we hope that to bring you up, that will not be for your parents a heavy task. For Habakkuk, he also had a people, as it were a congregation, and for him to be the prophet of the Lord, for this congregation was a heavy task. We hope that that may never become so among us. And yet on the other hand, then for parents, for ministers, for office bearers, then there must always be a certain burden that is, that laid upon our heart ought to be the weight of the souls of our children and the souls of the members of our congregation. Jeremiah, he was called the weeping prophet, and he wept continually for the welfare of the children of Judah. David, he says, Mine eye runneth down with water because they keep not thy law. We read of Ezekiel that the Lord gave him a commandment that he must set a mark upon all those who sighed and who cried for the abominations that were done in the land. Are there also those in our midst that have such a burden? The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. Those burdens, they are not for God's servants always those things that are weighing them down in a congregation, what he may see, but then it may also speak about the word of the Lord, because the Lord has appeared to his servant Habakkuk, and he has spoken unto him. We read about the vision. And when the Lord is speaking unto his servants, and they must bring then that message unto the people, then that message is unto them as a burden. That is, that it is not a grief to them, no, but it is laying upon them that they must speak out those things which the Lord has showed them. That they cannot but speak of it, that the stones would cry out if those prophets, they were silent. And what is now that first burden that Habakkuk sees? Well, that first burden that is in the first four verses of this first chapter. Actually, the chapter that can be divided into three parts. The first four verses, and then up to verse 11, and then from verse 12 through verse 17, that is a third part of this chapter. And now in this first part, then we hear what is that burden that is laying in the heart of God's servant. O Lord, how long shall I cry? And thou wilt not hear. even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance, for spoiling and violence are before me? So Habakkuk, he is speaking here about violence, and it is violence that is in and among the children of Judah that is speaking in a special way, of a special kind of violence that is actually oppression. That is oppression against all those in Judah who are disadvantaged. Thus, the poor, the weak, the helpless, those that have no self-defense. For the wicked, we read, doth compass about the righteous. That is, that they are surrounding the righteous just as if they will besiege them, they will oppress, they will ensnare them. And then they are taking advantage of the helplessness of that people, that they may gain their own interest in a very wicked way, bearing false witness against that people, using fraud against that people. And we know that in this world, the wicked, they have often the consent of the masses of the people. And because they have this consent, they also have power. So that no one dares to come against them for fear that they will discredit themselves, or maybe even that they have no power against the multitudes of people. Spoiling and violence are before me. What does Habakkuk say? He says, it is before me. Everywhere, he says, I look. Then this spoiling of the helpless ones, this violence, this oppression is in front of me. It is so common. It is public. It is open. It is shamelessly committed. It seems like it is acceptable to everyone. And he says, that is before me. He says, even before the sight of the prophet of the Lord, who he says, I have spoken to them, I have warned them, I have reproved them, I have exhorted them, I have pleaded with them, and they are not ashamed even to commit this violence openly and shamelessly before the servants of the Lord. That as they are grown bold in sin. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth, for the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. What does the prophet then speak about? Then he says, this corruption that is not only among the people, but this corruption has extended itself even further, that it is now among the rulers of the land. So it is not as if this corruption that is being fought against by the rulers, and that they are doing their utmost to enforce the law against this kind of oppression. No. But he says the law itself is slacked. Slacked. What is that? That actually means to be numb. So the law is benumbed. It is no longer of force. It is ineffective. It is weakened. The law itself that is being slighted. And it doth never go forth. What does that mean? It does not go to its end. That means it is not going to finish that thing for which it has been established. And what has the law been established for? That is that the injustice of men may be restrained, and that the innocent ones, they may be protected. But instead, he says, wrong judgment proceedeth. Thus, the guilty, they are acquitted, and the innocent are condemned. The law itself does not do its office. It has lost its vigor. That whole law that is ready as if it were to perish. Wrong judgment proceedeth. The congregation whose heart is not incensed against wrong judgment. When the wicked does compass about the righteous, what is happening in our heart, boys and girls? When we see wickedness prevailing in this world, when we see a wicked Ahab and a wicked Jezebel, and how that they are putting to death that righteous Naboth, and then our heart that is boiling against that extreme wickedness. When the wicked ones, they have the power, when they have the authority, when they have the consent of all the masses, and then the righteous ones, they are altogether helpless under this kind of tyranny. And yet, how common of a thing is it? And then especially for that true church of God. And we can see that so often in the history of the church. But we can read of this also in the scriptures. And then it is not only in the world, no, but it is even within that church itself. Then we can read of Hannah, that she has to endure the mockings of Peninnah. Or then we can read even sometimes of God's own servants, that they are making mistakes concerning that oppressed people, as Eli, who is accusing Hannah of being drunken. Wrong judgment proceedeth. As David, who says to Mephibosheth, when he is being oppressed, when he says, "Thou and Ziba divide the land," wrong judgment proceedeth. But actually, that is part of our second thought already. That is an aggravation to this sin, because it was not the enemy that Habakkuk is lamenting, but it is the children of Judah themselves that he is lamenting. The sins of God's church, they are worse than the sins of the world. What did the Lord say to David? He says, "You have given cause for the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme." And so that is with us also. When we are members of the church, and when we claim to know and to have and to hold to the truth, what is our life in all this world? do we also give cause for the enemy of the Lord to blaspheme? How is our life? When we make a testimony before the whole church, in the attendance at the Holy Supper of the Lord, and we say and we make a confession what the Lord has done in our life, and then what is our life? The Lord Jesus lamented not over the world, no, but over Jerusalem. That was his own people. He says that he came unto his own. His own, they have not received him. That was an aggravation of their sin. So it was here also. Was that only a temporary and a sudden outburst of evil, of corruption in the land of Judah just for a short period of time? No. Oh Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Oh Habakkuk, he has mourned for a long time. Thus, the corruption that is a long-standing, it is a deep-seated evil in the midst of Judah. And when we are the ones who are oppressed, then even a short time, that seems like already a very long time. Did Habakkuk try to change that situation in Judah? Yes. Because he has spoken to them and he has prophesied against them, but they did not want to receive correction. And there are, we read, that raise up strife and contention. They don't want to receive a rebuke. How is that among us? We hope to begin soon the classes for confession of faith. And congregation, then when we make confession, then we also make a promise that when we should become delinquent, that we will submit ourselves to the decision of the consistory. How is that? You know what happens, young people, many times today? That instead of submitting, then we are pulling our membership out of the church. Then we have no impression anymore of the seriousness of that vow which we have made. And we become angry, and we do not want to submit ourselves under the rebuke of the Lord. Hosea, he says, that thy people, they are as those that strive with the priest. That is, with God himself. That is an aggravation of that sin. No, Habakkuk, he cannot change it. He is helpless to change the heart of the people. And what does he do? He cries unto God. Do you do that too? He cries unto God on behalf of those in Judah who are oppressed. And he cries to God just as if he is the one that was being oppressed. As if that wrong that is being done unto himself. And what happens when he cries? Nothing. Nothing. Then it does not change. And what does he do? Then he cries again. And nothing. And what does he do?
Then he cries again and again and again. Finally, we read, O Lord, how long shall I cry? And I will not hear. Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Oh, that is another aggravation for this man, his complaint. He cannot understand why it is that the Lord will not hear. God is so righteous. God is so holy. God is so just. He cannot look upon sin. He is angry with the wicked every day. And that sin and the corruption of men, that is so much more aggravating unto him than it is unto us, that he is displeased. And then Habakkuk, he cannot understand why that the Lord, in the life of those oppressed ones, he is allowing that sin to continue for such a long time. There is no deliverance. The bad are not corrected. The righteous ones, they are not delivered. The Lord is not coming to show himself as the just judge among his people. Oh, why does the Lord not look upon his people? Why does the Lord wait so long? Why does the Lord not come for the help of his church? Job says, Behold, I cry, but I am not heard. I cry aloud, but there is no judgment. That is, congregation, a question that has baffled the minds of philosophers throughout the ages of this world. Why is evil permitted in the world? Why are the proceedings of the providence of God so unequal? And then what does man say? Oh, then he says sometimes, there is no God. There is no one that sees. There is no one that cares. Asaph thought so too. Oh, he was envious at that portion of the foolish when he saw the prosperity of the wicked. How that the worst ones, they are the lords over the best ones. How that the good, they are suffering evil, and the evil, they are rejoicing in their prosperity. How that the righteous are afflicted, and the unrighteous, oh, they have their pleasure. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? That was Jeremiah. And that was also the trouble of Habakkuk. Because the Lord waits so long, then Habakkuk thought, that is the reason that law is slack. Solomon, he says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men that is fully set in them to do evil. So the evil, the wicked, they are growing more and more bold and free in their wickedness. Is that always going to continue so? Will justice and judgment never prevail? Oh, that will not always continue to be so. And we hope to see that further next week, the Lord willing, but
In the meantime, this way that is so necessary for that oppressed people. And why? That there may congregation come room for a mediator. That there may come room for a deliverer from that oppression. Let us sing first. Psalter number 19. Why dost thou stand afar, O Lord, in our distress? And why dost thou conceal thyself when troublous times oppress? 1-5 of Psalter number 19. Congregation, there is one God and there is one church. That is, from the beginning of the world even unto the end of the world. The experience of that church, that will be the same, and it will be what the Lord Jesus has said, that is, in the world ye shall have tribulation. The church, the true church, that is hated by the world. And why? Because when it is right, and often it is not right, but when it is right, the life of that people that is testifying against the world and the enmity of the world that will show itself when that people, they are staying truly by that word of God. That enmity that was seen and felt, especially in the days of persecution, in an outward way. But how is that today? You say we live in different times. Yes, that is true. In an outward way, we live in different times. And yet, the church is one. And that oppression of that true church that has not ceased even unto this day. The serpent is very subtle, more than all the beasts of the field. And there is an oppression that reveals itself not so much by the outward world, but an oppression that reveals itself within the circle of Christianity itself. By whom was Hannah oppressed? It was by Peninnah, who was also within that veil, that pale of the church. Are we a grief, a burden to God's people? What was the oppression that Hannah had to experience? That was that she was without fruit. Peninnah mocked her that she had no fruit. That was also the case with Sarai. When Hagar conceived, then she would no longer listen and obey her mistress. Then she was despised in her eyes because she was without fruit. In a spiritual way, there is a people who are in themselves without fruit. They cannot, congregation, bring forth out of themselves one good thought, one good word, one good deed before the Lord. There is nothing that is so heavy a burden and that weighs that people down so much as that they have a life that is in their own estimation without fruit. And as if that burden that was not heavy enough already, then there are always those that are ready to make that burden heavier.
There are the Peninnas. They have so much fruit of their own. And that they despise and they look down upon the fruitless ones. And that is coming out in so many subtle ways. How many times does that oppressed people not have to place themselves, therefore, on the outside, time and time again, on the outside of everything? What did the Lord Jesus say? He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, but they are oppressed by the rich in spirit. There is a people who over and over again, they have to experience that they have nothing. They have to lose it all. And that is over against the people. It seems, congregation, they always have everything. They can take it when they will. Those that are of little faith, they are oppressed by those who can always believe. They are looking down upon those who have no hands to take it and that have no feet to go. And in that life of grace, all those rich ones, they are quickly passing those poor ones by. As if that is not enough, a weight and a burden for the people, then sometimes that oppression that is extending itself even unto the rulers of the church. All what hurt can be done to those sheep by false shepherds. The tender sheep, Philpot, he says there are shepherds. They are beating the sheep over the head with their rod. How often are not those who are made by the Lord tender of conscience in this world, and they are not being oppressed with an accusation of legalism? People with intelligent minds, learning the doctrines which are according to godliness, but who have never been humbled before God, lifting themselves up with their explanations out of that word of God, yes, holding themselves above those little ones, as if they are the strong ones, as if they are the ones that have been brought into that liberty of God, and that are allowed to walk this way and that way and do this thing and that thing in the world, actually ways of sin. And we only must be careful that we are not being a stumbling block to the weak. But congregation, what a mercy if that people would only once become a sinner before God. There is an oppression even within the pale of the church. I'll give you one little example. Years ago, a person would not dare to come to the Lord's Supper unless they were dressed in black. Today, there is a people that hardly dare to do it, to come dressed that way. Why? Because there is an oppression. Because there is a people who would label mockingly with a label of piousness. And we know it can be all outward, but congregation, there is a people who feel black. Do you feel black too? And so that people, they are oppressed by the liberal and by the light thinking of our day. How much does not go over even the outward profession of that name of the Lord Jesus Christ? It is the rich ones. It is the ones who are forward. It is the ones who are the talkers. Oh, then they are sometimes coming forward even unto that holy supper of the Lord. They are received among the congregation. They are received maybe even in the consistory. And maybe even made a consistory member. And the poor ones in themselves, they are the ones that are passed over. They are the ones that are despised by, because they dare not say anything. It can be, congregation, so grieving when it is noticed that there is so little discernment for truth. That gifts, that natural intelligence that is valued higher sometimes by our own people than true humility, and that people cannot see through it. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. It is no easy way for the oppressed, no. But why? Why does the Lord bring that people through that way? Oh, for that people it will end a blessed way. What did we say? We know we are late, but there must come room, congregation. There must come room in our life for that blessed mediator. He must be made precious. And what does the Lord not have to do to make his blessed work that he has done in his life here upon this earth precious unto our soul? Oh, that wrong judgment that has proceeded, that has extended itself even over that Son of God. And he was willing to endure that unjust opposition, that affliction for the salvation of his church. Willing to endure it from the rulers even of the church of God, who should have stood for righteousness and for justice and for truth. But they have perverted it for pride, for jealousy, and there
all, even within the pale of the church, than that most righteous one. He was compassed about. He was surrounded by the wicked. Then he stood in the government. He stood before Pontius Pilate in the judgment seat, where there was such a violent perverting of justice in his case. Wrong judgment proceeding. And maybe you know it in a personal way. Maybe it is an awful thing, young people, boys and girls. One thing to be punished when we know we're guilty. It is another thing to be punished when we know that we are innocent. And he was willing to do it on account of his church and to undergo the oppression and the perverse turning over of judgment. All on account of the sin of his people. Could the disciples understand that? When he was standing there in the judgment? No. Not beforehand. Not while it was taking place. They could not understand it. This shall not be unto thee, O Lord. But it had to be. And why? Because the Lord, he will fulfill his own justice through the injustice of men, a mystery. But it will forever and forever be the song of God's church. And therefore, all that oppressed church, they do not go in a strange way. No, they go in a way in which they walk after the Lord Jesus Christ himself. If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you also. But, O congregation, may we never be the penina which is oppressing that people. Because the Lord Jesus said of himself, and that is true also of his church, it must needs be that offenses come, but woe unto that man by whom they come. But may we be brought in the place of that afflicted and that poor people, that may be given to trust in the name of the Lord. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, bring it in our hearts, each and every one. Oh, we need place and room to be made in our hearts for thee, for thine only begotten Son. O Lord, convert us unto thee. Show us the beauty of thy dear Son in all our wretchedness. Forgive all our iniquities in preaching and in listening. Crown it with thy blessing for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 47, stanzas 1 through 4 and 6. My God, my God, I cry to thee, O why hast thou forsaken me? Afar from me thou dost not heed, though day and night for help I plead. 1 through 4 and 6 of psalter number 47. Thank you.
thy ways, enthroned upon thy people's praise. Our fathers put their trust in thee, believed and thou didst set them free. They cried and trusting in thy name were saved and were not put to but in the dust my honor lies, while all reproach and all despise. A cause for scorn they make, the lip they curl, the head they shake, and mocking salvation shall afford. Oh, let thy strength and presence cheer, for trouble and distress are near. Be thou not far away from me. I have no source of help but thee.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Blessings.